Welcome to Book Hype. I'm Jen, and today I'm joined by Brittany and Kristen. Hey, girls, what's going on?
Hey.
Not a whole lot.
No. Is it cold where you guys are? Because it's getting cold up here. Like, cold up here. Like, there was frost on my car this morning. It's not okay.
It was 78 degrees, and I had my lunch outside today.
I'm sorry, is it what now?
It was really? Like 77, 78 in Toledo today, and I got to eat lunch outside for probably the last time this season.
Yeah, no,
at work.
Frost on my car this morning.
Yeah, that was a thing. I had to break out the scraper this morning.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was rough, but it's going to be like 75 tomorrow, so I don't know what to do. Like, I give up.
Yeah, I heard on Thursday it's going to be, like, in the 70s up here, but then it's going to drop off again and be really cold.
Yeah.
So I'm like, awesome, I don't know how to dress, and welcome to New England. Oh, that's right, I've lived here my whole life. I should know better.
I'm really excited that I have a garage this year, and my car is, like, parked in the garage, so I'm like, maybe I won't have to scrape as much. I've never been able to park my car in a garage, so we're going to see how this works.
To not have to, like, push, like, with a broom the, like, feet of snow off your car is going to be amazing. That right there is going to be like, yes,
it's a score. I will say I quite like it.
That's kind of a big deal. I like it. All right, so this episode we are going to discuss Cursed by Jennifer L. Armentrout. It was our spooky read for October, and we'll get to that in just a minute. First, let's see what you guys have been reading. I have to admit, I have been crazy busy with work, and I have not read much of anything. I've been a little lazy. It's been really weird. But I see you guys have been reading stuff. So Kristen, why don't you go ahead and start and fill us in on what have you been reading?
Sure. Well, I was lucky enough to get my hands on an arc of I See You by Molly McAdams. So I got to read that, and my review went up today, or whenever you guys read this, it will already be posted. So feel free to check that out. It's a really good book. It's very much in Molly's style. She likes to play with, like, the idea of a triangle. This isn't a true triangle in this book. It's more or less these two people met and someone else kind of shows up, you know, and gets into her heart because the other guy she thinks is long gone, and then ta-da, he shows back up. But it's much better than it sounds. It is a really good book, and I really enjoyed it. So definitely check out I See You if you're at all interested in Molly's type of story. It's a good cry book if you really just need some tears. I actually tonight finished Anyone But You by Jennifer Kruse. I've actually read this book before. It's kind of my second favorite Jennifer Kruse book next to Bet Me, which I've talked about before. But this one has this adorable dog named Fred in it. The main character is, she's like in her 40s and she's a divorcee and just moved into her own apartment and is like living up the single life and is really excited. And she meets this 30 something guy who lives in the apartment underneath her. And this dog Fred is like my favorite part of the book because they're always like feeding him Oreos. And at one point he runs off with her bra and like takes it to the guy. And it's just really cute, but it's a good, solid, you know, funny read if you're looking for something like that. And the third one I finished this week is Room Hate by Penelope Ward. I've heard really good things about this book, so I was really excited to get into it, and I really, really liked it. It's about these two friends who they're childhood friends, and they kind of have a falling out in their childhood, and they're both bequeathed half of a house that was owned by her grandmother, and he was a neighbor boy that was really close to her grandmother. So she gave them each like half ownership, and it's like a summer home. So they both kind of show up at the same time, and you find out what went on in their past. And it's a really good, interesting story. So I definitely recommend that one as well.
Awesome. And how about you, Brittany? What have you been reading?
Coming as a surprise to no one who listened to our last Book Hype special on Ursula Le Guin, I started The Left Hand of Darkness by Ursula Le Guin. I finished the first book in the Hunnish series, and I skipped ahead because, you know, the first book was a bit of a tease with this fantasy world, and this is the science fiction novel that she's not only most well known for, but it is the one that won her the Hugo and the Nebula Awards. And so I'm really far into that. I read it at lunch again today. and I'm almost done, and it's just, it's so good. And I think that this world that she started to build in Rakanon's Tale is just so vivid in this book, and she really hits on the anthropology aspects of this world building and the diplomacy between planets. And so it's all about like this interplanetary system coming together to learn how to communicate with one another. And really, you get to learn a lot about a bunch of different species and all sorts of things. And it's really, really interesting, and it's really good. And I think that her writing really comes together in this. I know we were mentioning on the special that her writing takes a little while to come together and see what point she's trying to make, but I think it's very clear in this book, so I recommend it. It's very good. And that's all I've been reading. And I read this book, obviously.
Obviously. Okay, so let's just get into the cursed book review. Brittany, have you ever read Jennifer L. Armentrout before? I can't remember.
No, I have not.
I didn't think so. And Kristen, you've read her, but you've only just started reading like her YA stuff. You were reading her as Jay Lynn, which is one of her like new adult kind of pen name, and she does a whole different kind of writing under that pen name.
Correct. So, yeah, I've read all of The Wait for You, and I've read all of the Covenant series, but I'm working on the Lux series now.
Yes. And so, okay, so for Brittany, because this is the first time you've read her, how did you feel about her writing style and what the story had to offer?
The writing style was fine. I didn't dislike it. I thought it was a very easy and quick read. The plot was really fast moving, which I appreciated. There wasn't a lot of time spent on problems or dragged, like things weren't dragged out. Everything kept, it felt like the book kept moving. And so it was an easy book to pick up and finish within an evening, which I appreciated. And yeah, I felt the characters were a little flat. Like, I feel like I didn't know anything about any particular character, like, in depth enough to really care about their motivations throughout most of the book. But yeah, I mean, the writing was great, and I am interested to see what else she has out there, because, you know, Cursed is not my type of book. If you've listened to Book Hype before, you can easily tell that it's not my go-to, but it, yeah, I thought it was great.
So would it be a buy or a borrow for you?
Oh, definitely a borrow.
Yeah. What I find interesting about this book, she doesn't have a lot of standalone books, and this is one of them. And this was earlier in her writing career when she was only publishing through like Spencer Hill Press before she kind of branched out and got bigger publishing deals. So I think it's interesting that looking at this book, because this is the first time I've read this book compared to like all the other books I've read of hers that are like further into her writing career. And I think you can definitely see a difference in development and how her, you know, stories kind of take form compared to the like her earlier stories. And she has one other standalone that I read called Don't Look Back, and it's through Disney, and it is fantastic. And it's also kind of a thriller mystery, and it's not a supernatural one. So Brittany, that might be more your style.
Definitely.
Kind of thing. It's a little, not quite We Were Liars vibe, but kind of like We Were Liars vibe to it. So you might really like it actually. So Kristen, you've read her as Jay Lynn, which is, you know, different from this, and you've read some of the Obsidian series. So how did you feel about the book?
It feels familiar. It's very much in her style, and I listen to the audiobook, as I always do. So it's the same narrator as the Covenant series, and I'm not sure if it's the same narrator that does Wait for You. I don't think it is, but I've definitely heard this girl's voice before, and I've heard it for JLA books. So it's like, you know, it's sometimes it's hard to kind of separate characters when you have the same narrator for, you know, all of an author's work. But I like the book. It was a decent story, and you know, it had some really interesting little twists and turns, some things that I definitely saw coming, others that kind of took me by surprise. As far as where it kind of ranks for me, it would be And sadly, it's probably toward the bottom. I really love the Wait For You series, and the Covenant series was a giant roller coaster that I loved as well. And I'm only really one book into the Lux series, so I can't really rank that one yet.
Just wait. It's probably the better of most of them. But yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's probably at the bottom, but that's not a bad thing.
No, I mean, she's written a ton of books, and especially I think you also have to look at the fact that the Wait For You series is, you know, this new adult genre. It's realistic fiction. You know what I mean? If you want to use that term, I know some people get annoyed with that, but it's, there aren't any supernatural elements to it. It's different. It's, you know, set in college. Here we're dealing with like high schoolers and some, you know, paranormal supernatural things. So I think those things are always going to look different when you're kind of comparing those sets of books. For me, I tend to agree with Brittany. I think the characters were a little off. I didn't really know a lot about them. Even the main characters, we get to know them a little bit. I don't think we get to know them as in-depth as we would if this weren't a standalone novel. I think the development was a little bit off for them in this particular storyline. I don't know if you guys feel the same, but I just feel like we maybe missed a little bit about learning about her characters, because going to her other novels, it's really obvious how much time is spent on building the characters, building the world, and all of those things. So this is a little bit different, and you know, it's not as, I don't think it's as well developed as some of her other things.
Definitely agree with that, and I kept feeling like throughout the book, I used to do this writing exercise in college where you would take a bunch of different like things out of a hat and you had to craft a story around whatever you had. And I feel like she like pulled like Twilight and some Shadowhunters and some like all of these supernatural books that I've read in my time. Like she took like one element of each of them and sort of like shoved it together really quickly. And like Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children was in there. And, you know, it's just like, there's so many threads of all these different books that I've read that I felt were coming together. It just was really weird for a bit. And I kept like, I just focused mainly on that instead of what was going on in the novel. I'm like, oh, this reminds me of this. And this reminds me of that.
Yeah. And the other thing that comes up with this is that the book Shatter Me by Tara Mafi also came out right around this time. And so it's very, if you guys haven't read Shatter Me, there's also a girl. Yeah. There's also a girl whose touch is, you know, death, and there's only one boy that she can touch and blah, blah, blah. So people do tend to compare it to that one. I'm not exactly sure which one came out first, to be honest. But I know it becomes a comparison and it becomes tricky. And so it is what it is. So frequently you get novels that can be compared to each other. It's not shocking, I don't think, in any way. Yeah. There's only so many storylines to tell. It just depends on how the author chooses to tell them is what makes them different. So, yeah. So I don't know. So talking about plot. So this is what we have for the plot. Basically, this book is about a girl named Ember. She was in an accident, and she technically should be dead. She and her father should have died in the accident, but her baby sister has the ability to bring things back from the dead. So by simply touching Ember, she brings her back to life. She doesn't bring her father back to life. He ends up dying in a car crash, and they're left with their mom. So Ember, her sister Olivia, and their mom all live together, but their mom is pretty useless. She doesn't even get out of bed anymore. So Ember's left as the sole caretaker. And a side effect of Ember being brought back to life is that she, whenever she touches someone now or anything that's living, she kills it. And she also has all these scars. So even though her sister healed her, like her being, she didn't necessarily heal the outside of her body. So she went from being this super popular girl to being this really not popular girl who gets picked on and made fun of essentially by a bully who used to be her boyfriend. And the story kind of develops from there. And Ember's pretty much alone. And then one day she sees this boy who, of course, is devastatingly handsome and a mystery. And she realizes that at first she thinks she made him up. And then later on, she meets him again, and she realizes that he's real, but she doesn't quite know what to do with him. And then there's an incident at school and Ember and her mother and her sister are taken by a man named James Cromwell and basically kidnapped and brought to this place called the facility. And James Cromwell happens to be the adoptive father of the very handsome boy, Hayden, that has been kind of befriending Ember. And the story kind of continues to develop from there. So what did you guys think of, like, the overarching plot line where, you know, we've got the death thing and the sister brings her back and they both have gifts that are kind of contrary to each other. And then there's, like, this secret group of people that have special abilities and they kind of get swept away and kind of get pushed in to be with them. So what did you guys think about that aspect of the story?
All right, listen. I felt like there was the big threat, the whole story was building up to the fact that we were going to go to the facility and it was going to be terrifying and these people were going to be awful agents of doom and destruction. And then it was like this corny high school teacher who just wanted his moment in the spotlight. And it was so weird. And I felt like the threat was misguiding and maybe that was clever and I didn't appreciate it, which was, that's fine. But I was really hoping that we would get to explore the facility more because I think that's what kept me interested the entire book was learning about, you know, oh, well, what kind of training is there and are they going to try and take over something or what is their end game? And it turns out that they don't really have an end game. It's just that Cromwell is like, meh, you know, they're there. I don't really like them that much. And so it's this outsider against, you know, the family and the facility. And so that twist, I guess, was sort of like a, you know, Scooby-Doo moment where they pull the mask off and it's like the museum clerk or someone that you didn't expect. And I don't know. I really thought too that you guys are really good for getting me to read the first book in series. And so I was like, oh, well, there's more to this book. So I'll find out what the facility is in later books. And then I Googled it after I finished reading it. And I'm like, no, that's about it. That setup was just there to set up.
Yeah, I saw something happening with Theo throughout the book. Like, Mr. Theo just was, there was so much, like, weirdness surrounding him because she always had headaches in his class and blah, blah, blah. They mentioned these weird things happening around him enough that I knew something was going on with him and that eventually he would either turn out to be, you know, a crazy, awesome ally or be the bad guy. But I assumed all along that he would be working for the facility. I assumed that they had planted him near Cromwell to try and get their hands on, you know, her or Olivia because Cromwell went to such lengths to get them and we found out about the accident, you know, not really being an accident, maybe. And I thought the facility has, you know, has basically pulled all the strings and that they're trying to get their hands on either Olivia or both of them or Ember. So I was a little disappointed as well to find out that Theo was working all by himself. I really thought he was going to be just part of a bigger, you know, monster. It was a little misleading and it didn't necessarily deliver on the big punch for me. I mean, it was a satisfying ending, but not quite as shocking as it could have been.
And he had those, like, weird Dumbledore's Army coins where, like, the coin, you know, did, you know, so weird. But you can definitely, I mean, once you get to the part where, you know, Theo reveals that he has a personal stake in the game, especially with his sister and, you know, all of that, you start to, like, I started putting that together. Like, I thought maybe the coin was some sort of protection thing or... Because they kept, like, when they were like, oh, what are you holding? And she, Ember was like, oh, no, it's nothing. Like, I don't have anything with me. And, oh, where'd you get that coin? Oh, my English teacher gave it to me. So, like, and he would just happen to always be around. And, you know, I also agree. I thought that he was going to be more of protection. And then the facility would come and he would, you know, point out that Cromwell was bad and working with the facility. And then it would be Theo and Ember versus everyone else that... But that didn't happen, and hey, that's cool.
The thing with Phoebe also was a bit of a letdown for me. Oh, yeah. Like, The locker thing was creepy, and it kind of added to this mystery, like, what other rando is going to put things in a girl's locker? But if it's the only place that they know she's the only one who will see it, it made sense to me that the facility may use that as a way to creep her out. So I was like, okay, this could totally be from some outside force, or maybe even Mr. Theo. But no. It ended up being Phoebe, just like she said, and it kind of disappointed me a little bit there, too.
Yeah, especially because they kept showing, they kept cutting to scenes where, like, I'm describing this like a TV show, but they kept going to scenes where she's still part of their lunches, and she's still interacting with them in the house, and so they throw the scent off of it being Phoebe, even though, and they try to put it on Kurt, and it was so weird when they resolved it. It was just like, oh, yeah, like, you know, I didn't want her coming here and ruining everything. And it felt like a really bad, like, Full House special at the end with Phoebe's reveal. Like, oh, it's okay. Like, you know, Danny Tanner comes out and the soft music starts to play. And it was just
the harp.
Yeah. It was just, like, really an odd choice. And I don't know. I might have felt better if it was Kurt. I'm kind of glad Kurt wasn't involved, like, you know, but still.
I get it. So with the characters, because we do get to meet a lot of different characters. At first, we get just the characters at school, and we meet, and I'm going to forget his name, the ex-boyfriend.
Dustin.
Thank you. I'm like, he had a silly name. I don't remember. Yeah. So we meet him. And he's kind of a jerk, and he's your typical kind of jock bully. And then something bad and unfortunate, or not unfortunate, depending how you want to look at it, happens with Dustin, right? So what do you guys think of that setup and how it kind of, like, how the story progresses and how the setup is that she touches someone because she's basically being assaulted in a way, and he dies. And then this whole, everything kind of moves forward very quickly from there.
Yeah, this was probably one of the things that bothered me the most. I knew they had to find a reason to get her there, and that's cool. Like, I'm cool with using this event as a reason to get her there. But the sheer fact that they, like, kidnapped them and pulled them away, and then when she got to the house, told her that she couldn't leave, but that they didn't want her there. It's like, wait, what? Like, you kidnapped her and erased her life and took away her best friend and gave her nothing else to live for except for her sister. And then you tell her she's not allowed to leave. She's stuck there, but that none of you want her there and you're all going to treat her like crap. Like, it just, it burned me. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, either push her away and have her, like, be determined to stay for Olivia and you know, not care about their treatment of her, or, you know, try something else. Like, it just, that combination of problems just didn't work for me. Something just never felt right.
Yeah, and then especially to have Adam come out, and then they wipe Adam's memory, and then, like, okay, that's the end of that. They never really, like, they set up all these really tragic and traumatic events that are supposed to shape her character, and I felt like they just didn't hit the mark for me. So that moment with Adam, I felt, went away way too fast. I think that the whole Dustin killing thing, it lingered a little bit longer throughout the story because, you know, Ember deals with this whole crisis of her identity just being linked with death this entire time, and that's understandable. But the Adam thing really bugged me, and also just how quickly she kind of accepts just being there and trying to make it work, and seeing, like, you know, just trying. They still didn't even tell her about her mom until so much later, and like, the fact that her mom is just ignoring her this whole time is just because, you know, she had this bad, horrible memory wiping thing go on. And none of the big traumatic things really just stuck with me. And I am still upset about Adam. Like, the book is over, and, like, Adam is just walking around not knowing that he had a best friend. And that is my biggest problem.
I was so pissed that there was no workaround. Like, when Kurt said, like, yeah, there's no way to get it back. Like, for her mom. I'm like, that means there's no way to get Adam back, and that is unacceptable.
Yeah, and
this is, like, a Barb situation here.
Yeah, and at that point, we weren't supposed to be thinking about Adam anymore. It was like, oh, we're supposed to just feel sad about the mom, and yet our minds were like, no, but, and Adam, too. Like, he doesn't know. It's very weird.
Yeah, and I think that, again, those were some of the things that kind of fell a little short for this story for me, because I've read a ton of her other books and, you know, her other YA, like, paranormal stuff, and it's very different from this. This, you know, it feels like it should have been more story, but she decided it was a standalone, so it was a standalone. And so I think it becomes a complicated story to fit in one telling, because I think there was more to tell. And, you know, had she had more story to tell, maybe there was a way to get her mom and Adam back. But those things would have been down the road, not an immediate fix within the first book, because otherwise it wraps up everything way too neatly. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I feel like for one of my biggest issues with this book is that it could have been more, like, because things were kind of left not fully complete. Like, there were things that were happening in the last, you know, 20 pages of the book that happened, and that, you know, you needed to know them in order for the book to be finished, but then you didn't get any explanation about it. And so that kind of complicated the storytelling for me a little bit. I don't know if you guys felt the same way.
Oh yeah, I definitely. I mean, I, like I said earlier, I some of the stuff, especially with the facility, I was like, oh, I'll just catch it in the next book if I care to keep reading. But there is no next book. So I think
the, like, one time we get Brittany hooked.
Yeah. It's not even like, I probably just would have looked online and I did that, because then the copy that I have that I took out from the library has a bunch of, like, advertising for other books by the publisher in the last few pages. And when I got to the end, I didn't, like, there's a page of text and then there's a cover on the next page. And I was like, oh, great. Like, you know, there's an excerpt from the next book here. Maybe I'll just get a little bit about the facility. And then it was nothing. I realized it wasn't even by that author. So it set me up for failure here. So I think in a way this could have been maybe 100 pages longer and we could have gotten a lot more answers and really felt the finality of her mother and what's going to happen with her sister and what life is going to be like going forward. It's not just like, I can make out what's, like, all in my head. I'm just like, oh, great. So you can make out with someone for 30 seconds at a time now. And that's your life. Like, what is the what could be your purpose?
Right.
You know? Yeah. Right. I feel like there's a future for her of, like, possibly, you know, learning to control this more and more. Like, you know how when you first learn something, like, you're really excited because you can do it, but then, you know, 3-5 years later, you can do that without even blinking. Like, it's not even something you have to think about anymore. And so I feel like there's a future for her that she can, like, learn to control it more and more as time goes on. But because we only get this, like, what, 9 months, 10 months of her life, we don't get to see, you know, how her story ends. We don't really get to see if she, you know, does get better control of her power and is able to hold her sister and is able to be in a, you know, true, tried and true relationship with Hayden. And it just, I wish we had, you know, more books or something else to kind of, you know, hold on to, an epilogue maybe or something. But yeah, there's a lot of loose ends and things that I wish we had a better grasp on by the end of the book.
Absolutely. What did you guys think of Hayden? I mean, we've kind of talked about him a little bit and touched on him, but what did you think of him as a character?
Oof. Well,
go ahead, Brittany.
All right. So we're watching Angel on another podcast, and everyone loves Angel. He's a great guy, but he's a creepy stalker. And I point that out and I get yelled at, but it's the same thing in this book. Hayden is a creepy stalker. Like, he stalked her for 2 years. And, you know, these type of boys who stalk a girl and then the girl falls for them bug me a bit. And that specific plot line bugs me a lot. And so, again, we're dealing with that. Like, it happened in Twilight. He, like, sat in her window and stared at her.
I was waiting for you to say that.
Yeah, and then in Angel, like, he stalked Buffy for years because he thought that she was interesting because, you know, she is the Slayer, and she was pretty, and this is, like, the same thing. She was interesting, and something was off about her, and so he stuck around for 2 more years. Like, you know, it's just that those are the type of things that just, they don't stick well with me when it comes to male characters, and then I think it really discredits the female character for being like, oh, but it was actually quite endearing. No, it's not endearing. He was stalking you.
You're like, it is creepy. In fact, it's against the law.
Yeah. No, I, as far as, like, his abilities, I loved the Enerpath thing. Like, I hadn't really read anything quite like that, so that was kind of interesting for me, and, like, learning, you know, kind of how it works. We never really got full-fledged, like, him rageful, can't control it, something terrible happens, we got a trash can exploding. But, you know, I thought his powers were kind of cool. I thought the way that he and her could kind of have a little more interaction because of his ability was cool. But I agree with you that the stalking is kind of problematic. And they never explained how he, like, hid away so fast. Like, she kept saying, like, he disappears. Like, she looks and he's gone. That's not part of his ability. He's not the Flash. Yeah. So it kind of bothered me that we never really got an explanation for how he just kind of disappeared.
Yeah. But I think that was kind of like, we would get snippets of things here and there, and nothing was fully, like, brought to fruition on a lot of different levels. So that's kind of just goes into that pile. Do you know what I mean? I also feel... Yeah, and sometimes, like, these boys, they're just, like, so perfect and so dreamy. And, like, it's okay to not be perfect and dreamy sometimes. So, as much as I love a good dreamy book boyfriend, I don't know. I feel like she does this character a lot. And clearly this is an early incarnation of many characters, I think, that we see from her down the line.
Possibly Aiden.
Yeah, yeah, I could see it.
Her name's even rhyme.
I found that really funny. I was like, Hayden reads a lot like Aiden St. Alphi.
Funny. So similar in name, too. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, so stuff like that. But overall, I enjoyed the book. Is there any, like, details that you guys, like, absolutely hated, and besides that Hayden is a stalker, and wished were not written in the book?
No, I think my biggest problem is things that weren't written. So Kristen touched on this a little bit, like, not really understanding the full extent of Hayden's ability and only getting glimpses of, it was his name, Gabe? Gabe's...
telekinesis.
Yeah, yes, and only getting, like, glimpses of his ability and just, and Phoebe even, all of these people have such cool abilities, and they're also different, and, you know, there's a reason that they have to come together, and it's not just for safety from the outside world, because clearly the facility is an option for people, and, you know, Cromwell has, like, another tactic to explore, and I think that even his motives should have been explored more. Oh, and his ability to just change people into, like, you know, doing his will and, like, getting them to believe whatever he's saying, and that's interesting, and I don't know, I'm just I very just let down by what wasn't there as opposed to anything that was there.
Got it.
I think the one thing that really bothers me is the whole setup for the accident being not an accident, and that felt very, it felt right that it wasn't an accident, and I liked that twist, but then finding out later that it was, and that it was all just something that happened, and it wasn't, you know, anybody's evil concoction, that felt a little manipulative for me. Like, it just, like, why tell us it wasn't an accident just to turn around and tell us, oh, never mind, it was. That bugged me a little. I wish that she would have, you know, made somebody the true big bad, like, made Theo the guy who took her father, whether he was a good man or not doesn't necessarily really matter at this point, but, you know, for her, he was a good man. So if Theo took him from her, then that gives her a reason to hate him and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, that bothered me.
It's like it needed just a little bit more. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Just or just someone to kind of say, turn it around. To actually
be a fault, because it feels right. like there was a no fault kind of thing going on.
Exactly. And like, it, you know, you take the turn to accepting that it was purposeful and that someone is, you know, working against her.
Right.
And then it turns right back and you're like, oh, okay. So they were working against her, but not really. And not all this time and whatever. So
right. You're just, like, that yeah. doesn't make any, like, right. It doesn't feel quite complete because you kind of get this like half truth of everything, I think, is what makes it so challenging in a lot of ways. I don't know. That might just be me. So is there anything else that you guys want to bring up about Cursed?
Okay, yeah. I have one more little detail okay. that I just do not like in any book ever that drives me insane.
Excellent. What is it?
The plot of, you know, young adult characters always just wanting to fall asleep together. Like, oh, we worked so late into the night, we both just happened to fall asleep. And it just, it repeats in everything. Like, I don't get it. Like, you know, in Fangirl, you have, like, Levi, and, you know, they fall asleep reading. And then here, it's just like, oh, you know, we were just so exhausted, we were talking, and we fell asleep. And I that bugs me in every single YA book. Ugh. And then it's like, I didn't want to say anything that, you know, I was thinking something suspicious because I didn't want to give up those nights where we fell asleep together. No, you say when you something suspicious. This guy's a stalker. So do not spend your nights cuddled up with him.
See, in this case, I understood the sleeping thing because she doesn't have closeness. Like, so I understood that, like, the first time they accidentally fell asleep and then it kind of became routine. I kind of bought it because Ember just wanted to be close to people and she's never had that except with Adam. And even then she couldn't touch him at all. And, you know, so I kind of bought into it here. But I see what you mean. Like, it is kind of problematic, especially since he was her stalker.
All right, I'll give you this one because that sounds nice when you say it.
Like, yeah,
that.
I mean, like, it does have a purpose. Like, I see it, but you never really get there. It's not like Ember is kind of concocting reasons to be near him, you know, like, oh, you know, she could try and keep him there longer so that they fall asleep or something, you know, like make it seem like she's just desperate for that, you know, the closeness. I think it would have come off a little better.
Yes.
Yeah.
And again, it's one of those storylines that we all agree was just not pushed far enough. Not even so far as, like, you know, far enough romantically, just far enough for us to or even just me to understand
really get a really solid grasp.
That's yeah. what she's doing.
Absolutely. So, I mean, basically to sum up our feelings about this book, we liked it. We read it. We enjoyed it. But it felt a little incomplete in certain areas, I think, is the best way to say it. There wasn't enough of it to make it, like, a complete story for us.
Yeah, I think it's knowing that this is pretty early in Jennifer Armentrout's career, it makes sense. Like, you see these kind of loose threads here and there that, you know, she was a beginning author. This wasn't, you know, this isn't a book she wrote after having written two, you know, giant series.
Right.
And so it just makes it easier to kind of look at it and say, okay, I see the threads of things that will come. Like, I see her characterization here, and I see that when I read, you know, the Covenant series, she got really detailed about how Aiden and I can't think of her name right now, the female heroine, like, how they bond and how long it takes them to bond, and you get an entire series of it. So you definitely can see how this was the beginning of, like,
those threads of story.
Exactly. Like, you yeah. definitely can see the beginning of her career here.
Yeah, and I think it's the same when you finish the Lux series, you'll see the same thing. Because the course of the Lux series, you get so much detail about the characters. And you feel like you really, truly know them by the end. Like, it's an entirely different experience, I think, when you have more than one book to work with. Like I said, her other standalone novel, though, is it feels much more complete. But again, it came only a couple of years ago, so it came much later in her writing career. than I think the ones that we've, you know, this one, which was fairly early on. And they're also with different publishing houses. So you're looking at different editors and different people handling the book, which I think also makes a big difference. Spencer Hill Press is a much smaller press. It's not like a Disney or a HarperCollins, or, and that's kind of where her books are now. So you're looking at different teams working on things. And so I think that makes a really big difference as well, is how many people touch a book before it hits the shelves.
Yeah. So, and I'd be interested to pick up more of, like, some of her adult novels, because as you guys know, like, this wouldn't be my first choice of a book to pick up, but her other stuff does sound like something that I would really like. So
yeah, I honestly think you would like the other standalone one, Don't Look Back. Like, I think it and even though it's a YA, I think you would enjoy it. So yeah, so I think that's kind of, does that kind of sum up how we're feeling about this book?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's right. It's definitely worth a read, but it's not perfect, and that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And we read a lot of Jennifer L. Armentrout on here. We love her books, so it's a definite go-to author for me. I usually am not ever disappointed in what I'm reading from her, so something to keep in mind as you guys are looking for books to read. All right, so that wraps up this review episode of Book Hype. Just so you guys know, some upcoming things from us. We are going to do, next week, we are going to do a sporty book episode, which is a little different for us, kind of, but not really at the same time, because a whole lot of the romance novels we read are based on sports teams, but we're still going to do the sporty aspect, don't worry. So we're going to do some fun things with that next week, especially for Brittany and I, because the Patriots are on a bye week, so we don't have any football to watch. It's going to be odd. And Karen will just suffer along with it. In fact, she's the one who brought it up, so I just want you all to keep that in mind. So if you guys have a favorite book about sports or a book that contains a sports team in some way, shape, or form, hit us up on Twitter and let us know so we can talk about it. And then we have some other things coming up. We are going to do another kind of spooky book coming up in November. It's called The Dead House. And it's kind of a mixed media book. Brittany, I believe you've already read it.
I checked it out from the library, and I did not know when I checked it out that Karen was obsessed with this author, Dawn Kurtajic.
Yeah, I can't say it. Yeah.
Kurtajic, something like
Kurtajic.
That.
Kurtajic. Yeah. Gitch sounds better than Gitch. Like, yeah, so she... I didn't realize that she had just finished another book by her and had done a post with her as a guest author on what it's like to write horror. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's got, I flipped through it. It's got, like, emails and, like, chats and, you know, all sorts of, like, really cool. It's got some prose in there, too. And it is, like, a mystery thriller.
Right. It's about a girl who goes missing, correct?
It's about this school that burns down, and then
I'm thinking of a different one, because there's one that sounds just like this, but it's about a girl who goes missing,
and it's like found photos. I don't have it in front of me, but
no, it's cool. Okay. Yeah, so we'll be doing that in late November, and then our author spotlight for next month, or for this month, because it's already November. I don't know when that happened. So our author spotlight for this month will be C.S. Lewis.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, lots, so some things. Yeah, lots of things coming up before we hit the full-on holiday season, which is sure to be crazy. All right. So, you guys, until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.